KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies and 40 degrees. We look for skies to be partly sunny today with a high of 57. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The Cass County Board of Supervisors Friday morning passed a resolution authorizing SWPCO to submit a RISE, or Revitalize Iowa's Sound Economy, grant program application with regard to the Elite Octane LLC ethanol plant, Echo Road to Olive Street paving project. The timing is critical, authorities say, in order to submit the application to the Iowa Department of Transportation. The board gave Snyder & Associates engineers Dave Sturm and Tim Tighe verbal approval to speed up the planning and design phase of the project, the RISE funds for which, if approved, would be used for the addition of a northbound left turn lane off of Olive Street to Echo Road near the FSE plant and a southbound right turn lane. Here's Dave Sturm.
There is room south of the Interstate Railroad to get that turn lane in there. And it would require widening of the right-of-way because we would have 12-foot turn lanes plus 4-foot median plus 6-foot shoulders. So your top width, if you count the shoulders, is going to be over 60 feet wide. So that by the time you get ditches and everything, it would require some right-of-way acquisition.
The cost for the turn lanes alone, including reimbursable engineering expenses, amounts to a little more than $512,000.
That may seem like quite a bit, but you got to realize we have to bring in all the dirt to do this. The dirt has to be trucked in. And then there's also $130,000 of pavement. And there is almost $100,000 in that culvert that's on the west side of Olive Street. There's a 72-inch RCP culvert that would have to be moved to the west and extended out 200 feet long to get these large radius turns in for the semi-traffic.
The plans and specs for the main line of Echo Road to Olive Street are completed. Just prep work for the new addition of turn lanes is needed. The updated project schedule calls for the final plans and specifications for that particular portion of the project to be completed by April 20th. Those plans would be submitted to the Iowa DOT, which then requires a 40-day review. Afterward, the Board of Supervisors would approve the specs and authorize a request for bids, and that's expected by the end of May. SWPCO's John McCurdy said the original RISE grant they were applying for amounted to $588,000 and was based on the number of jobs, 49, that would be created by the construction of the ethanol plant.
And it is a DOT grant that is for road improvements to serve a new or a potentially new industrial type site. It can't be for a local restaurant or something like that. It needs to be a jobs creating thing.
Later, a decision was made to move the application focus from mainly ethanol plant jobs to a regional economic development fund, meaning there would no longer be a $588,000 cap on the funds, and the entire area there could be included, which increases the state's contribution to 50%, or $1.5 million. And that, according to McCurdy, allowed the turn lane project to be included in the funding application. The DOT commission will act on the county's RISE application during their meeting on April 15th. In other business, the Cass County Board of Supervisors approved a supplemental agreement for additional services in connection with the ethanol plant, the Graywater Transmission Project, and the board approved entering into a 28E agreement for the formation of the West Nishnabotna Watershed Management Coalition to enable cooperation in supporting watershed planning and improvements for the mutual advantage of the political subdivisions involved. Supervisor Steve Beyer said the 24-member coalition is made possible thanks to a federal grant administered through HUD, Housing and Urban Development, the primary purpose of which is flood control, but also water quality, riverbank stabilization, and more. Iowa's share of the funding amounts to over $90 million, which will be distributed in phases. The first phase, according to Beyer, includes $30 million over the next 5 years.
Really, Cass County in the next 5 years isn't going to see any money out of this other than money that would go into stream flow monitoring, weather-type gathering data, and so forth. And we'll get that data, so it will be available to, like, for example, our county engineer and people that data would be useful for.
Iowa's weather for March was one of clouds, rain, snow, warmth, and some severe storms. State climatologist Harry Hilliker said the month continued a trend of being warmer.
Temperature-wise, the month of March looks to average about 1 degree above normal, a little bit warmer than usual, and the first half of the month, a lot of extremes, both on the warm and the cold side of the month. Second half of the month, generally just near to slightly above normal temperatures despite all the clouds we've had.
Hilliker said both ends of the thermometer got some action as well during March.
Lowest temperature we had for the month got down to minus 9 degrees on the 15th, morning of the 15th, at Stanley in Buchanan County of northeast Iowa. And just 4 days later, got up to 84 degrees at Sydney, in the far southwest corner of the state.
Hilliker says that was the second day we had temperatures in the 80s. The other was on March the 6th, which he says is pretty early in the month for temperatures to climb that high. In Atlantic, the average high for the month was 51 degrees, while the average low was 30, according to our weather records here at KJAN. The month in general was slightly wetter than normal.
This month, though, for a change, seeing quite a bit more rain for the southern part of the state where they really needed it. Especially just this last week or so, and that should help with the drought situation down that part of the state. But for the state as a whole, roughly about 2.6 inches of rainfall for the month, and about a third of an inch more than what's typical for March.
Rainfall in Atlantic for the month of March amounted to 2.26 inches. Snowfall was just 1/2 inch. Hilliker says statewide, the snowfall total didn't set any records.
Roughly around what would be typical for this time of the year, about 5 inches or so. We had the one large event earlier in the month, back on the 12th and 13th, especially brought a lot of snow to far northern parts of the state once again, which has kind of been the story all this winter.
Hilliker says it looks like March will end up being the ninth wettest on record. Well, the Iowa Aviation Museum in Adair County is hosting its 20th annual Chili Drive-In and Fly-In today, featuring free admission, a meal, and special exhibits. The museum's Chris Schilberg says the museum will serve chili from 11 a.m. today until 2 p.m.
And the museum will be serving chili from 11 to 2. And the cost of the meal is $7.50 for adults and $4 for children under 12. The meal also includes cheese sandwiches, nachos, bars, cookies, hot cider and coffee, and the price of the meal also includes admission to the museum that day.
In addition to the museum's regular attractions, a special tribute is being paid this weekend to the Doolittle Raiders, who bombed Tokyo, Japan on April 18, 1942. 16 B-25 bombers took off from the deck of the USS Hornet, led by then-Colonel Jimmy Doolittle. Three of those gallant men who flew during the mission were from Iowa, and two of them died during the mission. Each of the Raiders received a Congressional Gold Medal for their heroism, valor, skill, and service to the U.S.
The museum is honored to have on display this year the Congressional Gold Medal that was awarded to Sergeant William J. Dieter of the Doolittle Tokyo Raiders. Sergeant William J. Dieter was born in Vail, Iowa on October 5th of 1912. As with almost all of the 80 men who flew in the Tokyo Raid, Bill volunteered for this mission, knowing full well that the chances of survival were extremely remote. We want to thank his family for allowing us to display his distinguished award at our museum.
The 29-year-old Dieter was a bombardier in one of the B-25s named the Green Hornet. He, along with engineer and gunner, drowned when the plane was forced to ditch along the coast of China when it ran out of fuel after the bombs were dropped on a steel mill. Schilberg says they love to hear stories from Iowans whose loved ones were involved in the war.
We just found out the other day we had an Iowan who filmed the bombing of Paul Tibbetts, and he was just a local guy. He was up around the Casey, Iowa area. And so that's why we're asking for people their stories. If we don't preserve them, we're going to lose them.
Tibbetts, by the way, was the pilot of the Enola Gay who dropped the atomic bomb on Hiroshima. And she says that they're trying to make the museum experience personal by adding uniforms with the names on them, pictures of the service members who wore the uniforms, and more. In addition to the Congressional Gold Medal and other attractions, there is on loan from Jose and Donna Medina from Ankeny a restored model battleship.
It's a replica of the USS Missouri battleship, and it is approximately 10 foot long. And Jose and his wife Donna have acquired over the years a large display of originals and copies of World War II items, and they are going to be here the day of our chili fly-in to discuss how the planes were loaded onto the ship, how many cannons, guns, details that I would have never known about.
And as the name implies, the Iowa Aviation Museum features a plethora of exhibits and artifacts, aircraft, and more related to Iowa's historical flight achievements. The museum is located just north of Greenfield, east of Highway 25 at the Greenfield Municipal Airport. The museum is open today from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.